You've probably heard me talk about my dog, Jackson. He's my baby boy. And as he's gotten older, he's gotten really finicky about eating. He used to get so excited about food, he'd literally spin. Well, not anymore. In fact, I often have to spoon feed him to get him to eat. Well, no more. Not since we started feeding him fresh food made with whole ingredients, backed by veterinary science. It's Nom Nom. Now, I actually tried making food for him myself. I'd cook up big batches of chicken or beef with vegetables and rice or potatoes, but without knowing what I was doing, he wasn't getting the vitamins and minerals he needed, and certainly not in the correct balance. That's all changed now with Nom Nom. Go to trynom.com, trynom.com/sentbynicole. They'll ask you some questions about your pup and tailor a specific amount of individually packaged Nom Nom meals and send them to you. By using my special URL, trynom.com/sentbynicole, you'll get 50% off of your first order, plus free shipping, and it's a great way to help support this show, too. Again, that's trynom.com/sentbynicole. Plus, Nom Nom comes with a money-back guarantee. If your dog's tail isn't wagging within 30 days, Nom Nom will refund your first order. No fillers, no nonsense, just Nom Nom.
The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
And we've entered the home stretch. It is Monday, October 26th. We are 8 days out from Election Day, but it's not really Election Day anymore, is it? It's the end of the election voting period. I guess that's the way we need to put it now, because early voting has been going on for, a few weeks now in many places. Some places today early voting began, but vote by mail has been going on. And as of this morning, more than 60 million people have already cast their votes. 60 million people. More people have early voted with 8 days still to go than early voted in all of the 2016 election cycle. This, you know, they always say it comes down to turnout. And I laugh about it because, duh, right? It always comes down to turnout. Whichever candidate turns out the most voters wins. It's not that hard to figure out. And that's why when I hear the pundits go, well, this is going to be a turnout election. It's all going to come down to turnout. It's like, duh, that's how elections work. Well, it's how they're supposed to work. The candidate who gets the most votes wins. But here in America, doesn't always work that way, because we've got some stupid thing called the Electoral College. And hopefully, once Joe Biden is in as president, once Democrats control the House and the Senate, we can make some much needed changes, like obliterating the Electoral College. That's just one of many changes we need. The thing is, to do those kind of things, to make that kind of structural change, we need a landslide. To bring Trump down. I've played this song a few times, but I'm going to open the show with it today because never has it been truer. I wrote the lyrics. Lauren Mayer tweaked them a little bit and recorded the song because I tried. And frankly, though I have a beautiful singing voice, I have trouble staying on key. So, you know, it falters there. So take it away, Lauren Mayer, and everybody sing.
Now that Earth, it's coming round, our one last chance to get rid of this cloud. In this crucial, we all have to vote.
I'm calling an audible, and I'm actually cutting it off. Did that sound as bad to you as it did from me? I'm having like audio problems. I wonder why that is. Let's see what happens if I just play. Well, you know what? I can't right now because where did the Electoral College come from? That's a good question. So I can't play that one. I wonder if it's the that video, or if it's my system. I guess there's one way to find out, and we'll find out this way. It's hit or miss, you know, live radio. What can it sounded fine on your end, so it's just a screw up on my end. Ugh. All right, then I'm gonna play a different song. We'll play Landslide later. Just know, no more stable genius. He can take his mushroom penis and evacuate the White House grounds. My favorite line of the song. Anyway, Roy Zimmerman, who's been doing kind of political parodies a la Tom Lehrer or Mark Russell for years and years and years, recorded. He's already had two versions of Vote Him Away, you know, a parody of The Lion Sleeps Tonight. Well, a third one was released over the weekend. We'll see if this works. And I guess it sounds better on your end than mine. All right, so we'll try this one. Fingers crossed. It's Monday, can't you tell? All right, take it away, Roy Zimmerman.
Dee dee dee, oh, we vote him away. Frightened White House, the liar tweets tonight, spreads his toxin, calls into Fox, and repeats deceits tonight. Just look at me. I'm not a doctor, but I play one on TV. Got the finest care there was, 'cause we're the Trumps, paid for by America's taxpaying chumps. In the country, the mighty country, the people rise tonight. Vote yes on science and yes on justice, and no on lies tonight.
Hey, hey.
Bye-bye, so long. That is Roy Zimmerman and the newest rendition of Vote Him Away, a parody of The Lion Sleeps Tonight. I don't know what's going on. My sound, I've got some sort of glitchy thing going on with my sound today. So hopefully things will get better. I guess I should, I'm shy. Can you tell I'm stalling because I don't want to deal with the news? But I guess we need to. So let's do it. All right. All right. Here we go.
I read the news today. Oh, boy.
Well, it is Monday, October 26th. And the Senate is today going to confirm Amy Coney Barrett to the Supreme Court. Clarence Thomas is even going to swear her in tonight. Can you tell why I didn't want to get to the news? Yeah, the Senate, you know, Mitch McConnell has had them in session all weekend so they could get their 30 hours of debate in. And yeah, and so they voted her out of committee on Thursday with zero help from the Democrats. And in fact, I would say that the vote out of the Senate Judiciary Committee is not valid because there were no Democrats present. There are supposed to be at least two members of the minority party in order to achieve a quorum, I think, in order to have the vote be valid. So, but the thing is, the Democrats never do anything to enforce the rules. So they voted 51 to 48 yesterday to end debate on the nomination. Lisa Murkowski and Susan Collins broke ranks with the Republicans and sided with the Democrats. But Murkowski then said over the weekend that although she is going to vote no, or she did on the procedural motion, the motion to end the filibuster. I'm just drawing a blank. So she'd vote no to advance the vote out of committee, but when it came down to the confirmation vote, she's all in. What? Unbelievable. So tonight at around 7:25 Eastern, roughly a month after Trump announced her nomination to replace the late, great Ruth Bader Ginsburg, they're going to confirm her. And I'm just so sickened by it. By the way, during the Trump presidency, the Republican Senate has confirmed 219 judicial nominees across the circuit, including, after tonight, three to the Supreme Court. I am just sickened by this. There was some breaking news today. The Office of Special Counsel has launched an investigation into Mike Pompeo for Hatch Act violations during his address to the RNC while he was on official government travel in Jerusalem. We told you then that this was unprecedented and uncalled for. The investigation is looking into his misuse of State Department resources. By the way, I hope you heard the show on Friday. I know we had some video streaming problems, so we weren't live on YouTube. Just like today, I don't think we're on Twitch or Periscope, only because I'm trying to get this restreaming system working, and that didn't work today. But we are on YouTube and Facebook today, so go figure. Anyway, on Friday, I had a very special guest on the program, Nicholas Kristof from the New York Times, Pulitzer Prize winning journalist, now columnist for the New York Times. He and his wife wrote a book last year called Tightrope, and it's really about poverty in America. It's about the lack of hope. And so then they did a film adaptation of the book, which opens today. It'll start streaming this afternoon or this evening, depending where you are, 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific, on the, I forget what the channel is called, the World Channel, worldchannel.org and pbs.org. I know where I live here in South Florida, we don't have the World Channel, but it'll be streaming online on pbs.org beginning at 7 o'clock tonight. And I just want to remind you, and the interview from Friday is still up there. It's on my YouTube channel. It's at nicolesandler.com/10-23-20. That was Friday's date. So that's, you can always find it there. I encourage you to listen to it because Nick Kristof and his wife, Cheryl Wudun, I believe is her name, really take a long, hard look at inequality, at poverty in this country, and there's so much of it. And, you know, that's something they don't talk about in campaigns, that you never hear candidates talking about the people in poverty. You hear about the working class, you hear about the middle class, you hear about, but you don't hear about the millions of people living in poverty in the United States, and the fact that it is the fastest growing segment of the population. And those are things you should definitely be hearing about. Those are things that we should all be talking about. And so the reason I bring that up, aside from the fact that you should go back and listen to the interview and watch the movie at PBS.org, beginning tonight at 7, and worldchannel.org. Today we learn that between the beginning of September and October 17th, despite an eviction ban put into place by the CDC, almost 10,000 eviction actions were filed in 23 counties in Arizona, Florida, Georgia, Tennessee, and Texas by large corporate landlords. At least one landlord group lobbied the Trump administration. The CDC clarified its ban on October 9th, opening the door for still more such actions. And new eviction filings have jumped since then. And I know here in Florida, Governor DeSantis removed the eviction moratorium at the beginning of the month. It is, you know, things are going to go from bad to worse. And this is the thing that gets me, and we'll probably talk with our guest about today. Dave Johnson's going to join us in a little while. But this is a pattern. The Republicans fuck up the economy and everything else, and the Democrats come into office, work really hard to get things back on track again, and then the Republicans come in and they screw it up all over again. You know, there's a song. I play songs if I wouldn't get banned on YouTube. There's a band that doesn't exist anymore called Dog's Eye View, and they had a song back in the 90s called Everything Falls Apart. Then you try to put it back together. Yeah, it falls apart, and then you put it back together. It's a cycle. But it's like the Democrats put it together, and the Republicans destroy it. George Bush left office in 2008, the end of 2008, we were hemorrhaging over 600,000 jobs a month. And the Obama administration came in and turned it around against all odds, because we were it was the Great Recession, remember? It was all George W. Bush and his Republican cronies who drove a good economy. They were left with a really good economy by Bill Clinton. Remember that? Bill Clinton left us with a budget surplus. George W. Bush fucked it all up. Then Obama comes in, right? And it wasn't easy, but over 8 years, the jobs were coming back. The economy was on an upswing. Everything was going in the right direction. And Donald Trump rode that good Obama economy for the first 3 years of his term. He didn't create jack shit. He didn't create anything. And Leslie Stahl tried to call him out on that in that 60 Minutes interview. And when he said, I created the best economy ever, she said, that's not true. And he said she was rude because she called him on his bullshit. She held him to account and called him out on the lies, and he doesn't like that. When she said, are you ready for some tough questions? He said, no, I don't want tough questions. You don't ask Joe Biden tough questions. I don't want tough questions. Well, tough shit, buddy. Too bad, Mike. Sorry, one of Trump's people said that to somebody back in the election all those years ago. Too bad, Mike. Too bad. So Trump totally mishandles the pandemic, fucks everything up. Today, the stock market was down over 900 points at one point, and it closed down 650. Donald Trump doesn't know how to do anything except take advantage of other people's good fortunes and lose a fortune over and over and over again. Donald Trump has never been successful at anything, certainly not making money. You know what he's good at? Losing money and crashing an economy. So he's going to crash this economy again, because don't believe a word he says. Oh, next year is going to be the best year in the history of the country.
Bullshit.
Yeah, it's impossible. And guess what? Even if Joe Biden takes over, we're going to still go down further before we come back up again because of the mess that Donald Trump left us in. And his massive tax cuts for the billionaires only hurt you and I. And frankly, I'm sick of him going on and on about how, well, the economy's great. The stock market is up. The stock market is not an indicator of the economy. It's just not. So here we are. It's the final week leading up to the end of voting. And for so many Americans like me, there's a sense of despair coupled with hope. And the despair comes from what's going on in the Senate today. I couldn't watch it over the weekend. I couldn't watch it today. The Democrats were right to, boycott the hearing was it Thursday? I don't even know, because I've not been watching, because it sickens me to the core that Amy phony fucking Barrett is going to be sitting on the Supreme Court as of tonight. I'm just stunned. Now, there was some question as to whether or not Mike Pence was going to show up for the vote tonight, because, you know, he's the tiebreaker, not that he'll be needed, because those Republicans have no guts. Not a single one of them has a backbone. I got to read to you this letter from to the editor on the Miami Herald today, today's paper. Rubio's code, it says. As Florida's senior senator, Marco Rubio has many responsibilities. One of these is telling the truth and not deceiving his electorate. These are his exact words in 2016 on Supreme Court nominees. Quote, I don't think we should be moving forward with a nominee in the last year of this president's term. I would say that even if it was a Republican president.
Bullshit.
And the letter writer, somebody named Carl Richardson of Hobie Sound, said, as a man who professes the virtues of Christianity, does he not think it is gross misconduct to practice hypocrisy? Most assuredly, hypocrisy is a sin in the sense that all immoral acts are sins. A hypocrite professes to have a certain moral standard, but then in practice ignores that moral norm. Only a person who claims to have a moral code can be a hypocrite. And that is Marco Rubio. By the way, I called his office today. I called his office in Washington, D.C. and his office in Miami. Of course, they were both during regular business hours, yet I could not get a human being on the line. Go figure. So I left messages, and you can only imagine what they sound like. By the way, back to Mike Pence. Mike Pence is still on the road, still campaigning, even though this morning we learned that up to 5 members of his staff have all tested positive for the coronavirus. Yup, including Mark Short, Pence's chief of staff, with whom he works very closely, is infected. And it could be 4 more, but they're trying to keep the whole outbreak secret. They haven't released any more information. They haven't told us who they are or actually how many. They tried to hide the information from you because they're the most transparent administration in history, according to Donald Trump. In fact, you know what? I should read this to you. Oh, anyway, so Mike Pence, Mike and Mother, both allegedly tested negative today, but they say that Mike Pence is an essential worker. Mike Pence is essential. So he's not quarantining. There's nothing funny about that. The CDC guidelines say if you're exposed, you quarantine for 14 days. He is not, because he's an essential worker. There are just no words. All right. I had 2 different op-eds. You know, while I was reading the Miami Herald, and I'm not a big fan of South Florida, as you might have gleaned over the years. Spent too many years here. The humidity has fried my brain. But there's 2 reasons why we subscribe to the Miami Herald. They don't even cover Broward County. They're a Miami-Dade paper. But the Sun Sentinel, which is the Broward paper, is even worse. And the Miami Herald has 2 columnists that are worth the price of admission. There's Leonard Pitts, who's always brilliant. And Carl Hiaasen. Now, Carl Hiaasen is one of my favorite authors. He's hysterically funny. And he's a Miamian. And he writes a lot about Florida and Florida men. Oh, boy. And women. But he also writes a twice-weekly column in the Miami Herald. And he's great. And he's usually really funny. So I've got his column from Sunday, and I have today's Washington Post column from George Conway. The thing that's weird is the George Conway column is funny. The Carl Hiaasen column is very serious. I may save the Carl Hiaasen for tomorrow and just share with you the George Conway one. And you know, I don't have a place in my heart for George Conway or the Lincoln Project people, because I think, you know, there's danger in embracing people who are not in it for the right reasons. Yes, they don't want Donald Trump, and for that, I thank them, and I think the work they do is brilliant. I just don't trust them very far, because they still want to abolish Medicare and Social Security. They're still Republicans. That said, they know evil when they see it, and evil, in this case, is Donald Trump. So let me share with you George Conway's editorial today. In the Washington Post, which is titled, whoops, uh-oh, oh, shit. How did I do that? I just, somehow, something is, oh, I see, okay. I think that is it. Maybe that's why. No, all right. For something is playing my audio, and I don't know where it's coming from. All right, anyway, the editorial in the Washington Post is titled, "I Believe in the President, Now More Than Ever." And I saw the headline. I'm like, what? And it's, okay, by George Conway. So, you know, tongue firmly implanted in cheek. Here's what he wrote. "I believe more than ever in the president. I believe sleepy Joe Biden and that monster Kamala D. Harris would turn America into a, quote, socialist hellhole. And we'd all have to speak Chinese." Now, just know there are a lot of quotes in this op-ed. So instead of quote every time, if you're watching on video, I'll do air quotes every time there's a quote, okay? And if you're just listening to the audio stream, you're going to have to just figure it out. I think you'll recognize a lot of the phrases he uses. All right, Kamala Harris would turn America into a socialist hellhole, and we'd all have to speak Chinese. "I believe they want to take out the cows and any form of animals. There will be no airplanes. They'll rip down the Empire State Building and we'll only have little tiny windows. I believe Sleepy Joe leads an organized crime family. I believe he and President Barack Obama committed the greatest political crime in the history of our country. And it will be a very, very sad situation if the Attorney General doesn't indict them. I believe Hunter Biden is a criminal because someone got hold of his laptop from hell, and because of some guy named Bobulinski, whoever he is. I believe fake news reporters are also criminals because they won't report this. I believe the laptop didn't come from Russian intelligence. I believe Hunter Biden flew from his home in Los Angeles to Philadelphia and then took a train to Delaware because he needed a legally blind repairman there to fix his laptop. I believe Rudy Giuliani when he says the odds are no better than 50-50 he worked with a Russian agent to dig up dirt on the Bidens. I believe the president knows all about this dirt digging, so all the dirt must be true. I believe Giuliani may have been duped by fake Kazakh rubes, but could never be conned by real Russian spies. I believe Giuliani was just tucking in his shirt. I believe the president doesn't know much about QAnon other than they like me very much. And that it's not a bad thing. They are very much against pedophilia. I believe people should be able to make up their own minds whether Biden had SEAL Team 6 killed to cover up the faking of Osama bin Laden's death. I believe Harris is a nasty, a communist, a mad woman. I believe we can't have a socialist president, especially a female socialist president. I believe she has a funny name, and it's possible she doesn't meet the requirements for the vice presidency because her parents were born abroad. I believe the president is the least racist person in any room he's in. I believe it was fine for him to tell the Proud Boys to stand by because somebody's got to do something about Antifa in the left. I believe Corona sounds like a beautiful seaside in Italy, and so we must say China plague. I believe the president has already announced his new incredible health care plan, and it's something nobody has seen before. But I believe if it hasn't been announced yet, and it will be very soon, perhaps in 2 weeks, I believe that the president will improve on Obamacare by getting the Supreme Court to end it, which would be so good. I believe it was the strategy of a stable genius for the president to urge Congress to pass a stimulus bill. And then 3 days later, refuse to negotiate one. And then 7 hours after that, demand Congress immediately approve one. I believe the president was not looking to be dishonest about the China virus and that he played it down because he didn't want to create a panic. I also believe he upplayed it. I believe he doesn't and shouldn't take responsibility at all for his handling of it, but that he does take full responsibility and that it's not his fault. I believe the virus affects virtually nobody and that the death count would be very low if we didn't count Democrat states. I believe doctors and hospitals have overcounted deaths because they get money, more money, for doing so. I believe we're rounding the final turn with the virus and that we have more new cases than ever because we have the best testing in the world by far. I believe other countries test only when somebody comes into the hospital and throws up all over the floor. George Conway continues, I believe we will develop herd mentality, which will make the virus go away. I believe a vaccine is ready, coming momentarily within weeks. And I believe Dr. Deborah Birx is pathetic for saying the virus was extraordinarily widespread. And that Anthony Fauci, who has been here for 500 years, is a disaster. And that all the scientists are idiots. I believe the fake news people are dumb bastards because all they cover is COVID, COVID, pandemic, COVID, COVID, because they're trying to scare everybody from voting. I believe it should be an election law violation. I believe that on November 4th, you won't hear about it anymore. Should I finish? I believe the fake news only shows the fake polls. We could go on for hours like this. That includes Fox News, whose polls are totally fake. I believe a silent majority supports the president. And look at all those voters. I believe he has a 96% approval rating among Republicans, up from 93%, 94%, and 95%. I believe the ballots are out of control and people should vote by mail and then vote again in person to test the system. I believe the only way the president will lose is if the election is rigged and that he's right not to commit to a peaceful transfer of power. I believe the president will not only win, but he'll also negotiate a third term, which he's entitled to because Obama and Biden spied on him.
Bullshit.
I believe that if the president somehow does lose, he might have to leave the country. I believe he probably should. And on that note, I believe he probably should. Yeah. On that note, let's do this.
Yeah. Olson Johnson is right. I say we stay and fight it out.
Dr. Samuel Johnson's right about Olson Johnson's being right. And I'm not giving up my ice cream parlor that I built with these two hands for nothing or nobody.
Howard Johnson is right.
The latest in a long line of Johnsons who were right. Correct. It's Dave Johnson on the Nicole Sandler Show.
Okay, now I see where that extra audio is coming from. Oh, my goodness. It's a Monday, but it feels like a Monday. Hi, Dave Johnson.
It feels like it's a Monday.
It feels like it's a Monday.
You asked me to come on your show.
Yeah.
And I dial in. I get on the Zoom. And
yeah.
You're doing that incredibly good impersonation of Trump you
oh, it's
do.
So good. It's so good.
Yeah, you sounded like Trump, which
so
I
good.
Try not to
It's so good.
Hear.
It's so good.
And my lunch starts to rise up.
Come on, so, rise up.
Rise up.
Rise
so, thank you.
Up.
You're very good at that.
Rise up. I've found out I'm good at a lot of things. Did you know? Let me add a total non sequitur, Dave Johnson. We'll get to the serious stuff, but I've been trying to avoid it at all costs today because I just don't want to think about Amy Phoney Barrett sitting on the fucking Supreme Court. It kills me. Have you taken up any new hobbies during this pandemic that we're in?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, I bought a piano keyboard, you know.
Yeah.
A good one, and I started learning piano.
Good for you.
Yeah.
I started painting.
Oh yeah.
And I shared on the social medias today a whole bunch of my paintings. Of course, I don't have them up here on my on my thing. But I'll tell you what, while we're talking, I will try to bring some of my gorgeous paintings into the shot and share them. So at the end of the show, I can share. Because here's what I'm going to do, because now I have all these paintings. And I don't know what to do with them. So I am I'm going to offer them up as basically as premiums for anybody who wants to make a donation to the show. You can take a choice of one of my beautiful pieces of art.
Okay.
So we'll talk, and I'll get the thing set up. So at the end, we have something to look forward to. I can show you my.
I won't offer a tape of me playing piano yet.
But I expect
one. I can do scales.
Do re mi fa so.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So Dave, I'm stalling. Let's start with what's happening tonight in the Senate. Have you watched any of it from
no.
after from, nor
you know,
have
I've
I.
been avoiding it, you know that.
As have I. I mean, they've been
what's
there.
The point?
Yeah, other
I'm,
than
I'm
to
trying to learn not to listen to Republicans. I think we all need to learn that, especially if we do take the House, Senate, and presidency. We just have to not listen to them anymore, react to any of it. It's just all bad faith. It's just all nonsense. So I'm practicing.
You're practicing. Okay, well, yeah. I called my senator's office today. I didn't call Rick Scott's office because that's, you know. But I called Marco Rubio's office because there was a letter in the Miami Herald today that had Marco Rubio's direct quote from 2016. I don't think we should be moving forward with a nominee in the last year of this president's term. I would say that even if it was a Republican president.
Bullshit.
So what do we do about this crap? What can we do? And I know the answer's nothing.
Yeah, I've lost all my good on-camera skills, haven't I?
Have you?
I think I have. I'm drinking tea. I'm lurching around. I have COVID eyebrows. You know, these clowns that say this stuff, they just say stuff, you know. Remember, they also said, I think, was it one of them said that even if Hillary becomes president,
they're going to keep her.
They wouldn't have a single hearing or anything on any of Hillary's nominees for 4 years.
Yes, they said that. Lindsey Graham.
This is all about, right? This isn't about, I mean, you know, they got to say something. I guess they got to say something, but we know what it's about. And it's not about anything they say. I think that I did watch some of it. I watched Sherrod Brown.
Uh-huh.
And I know you know what I'm going to talk about. That presentation he gave on the funding networks, the shadow networks of money, and people in the
wait, Sherrod Brown or Sheldon Whitehouse?
Sheldon Whitehouse.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Okay, there you go.
I'm sorry. Yeah,
no problem. I'm here to keep
guys.
You honest.
I love both those guys.
I know.
I hosted a thing with both of them once. So
they all those guys all look alike.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So okay. Sheldon Whitehouse, and he was so good, and he did such a good job of that. And it's so important for people to know this. It's just this huge funnel of this corporate and billionaire money that goes into this apparatus they have, and they find young people. Somebody said that they're scouring the rugby fields at Harvard, you know, and if they find one person that says he's a conservative, they sign him up to be a judge.
You know, that's about right. Amy Coney Barrett, before she only got nominated to the Circuit Court of Appeals 3 years ago, less than three years ago. She was never a judge before that. She was a professor at Notre Dame. Not only was she never a judge, she was never a practicing attorney. She's right. never tried a case in a courtroom. Right. And yet she's going to sit on the highest court in the land. She's going to fill Ruth Bader Ginsburg's seat. I mean, seriously, I talk about opposite world all the time.
There's so many, and you see them now in these voting rights cases. You know, and you see the courts, and one court says, yes, people have a right to vote. You can't do this.
Mm-hmm.
And then you check, and it's somebody nominated. Could be the first Bush, could be Clinton, you know. And then you check, somebody says, oh, no, you can't vote. What's the one in Pennsylvania? They can't, if the ballot arrives after, first they slow the mail down. Then they say if the ballot arrives after Election Day, even if it's postmarked before Election Day, it doesn't count.
Right.
And you find out those are Republican judges said that. And the Texas thing, you get a Democratic judge or an older Republican judge, and they say, of course, you got to put more ballot boxes out, or you. But then you look at these cases,
and it goes back and forth, and they keep overturning. They keep appealing.
But every single time, it's one of these. No, you can't have more than one ballot box in a county the size of a state.
Right.
No, you can't. And you find out. I mean, you don't have to look, but when you look, it's Trump judges or Bush judges, every single time. So that's just this power scheme. It's got nothing to do with what they say.
No.
It's got nothing to do with the law. You know, they say stuff about originalists. It's just a matter of the billionaire and corporate money has funded this plan to get these clowns in to undo anything democracy might decide, because they just want the control, the money that they get, the tax breaks they get. They want to treat their employers like it's the South before the Civil War.
Right.
Their employees. That's what's going on.
You know, it's not only that. I mean, the hypocrisy is just so in your face when it comes to this whole Supreme Court fight.
Oh, yeah.
They do, they're just hypocrites. I mean, yeah. I was listening, you know, I follow Randy Rhodes on the Progressive Voices Network. So for the last 20 minutes as I'm getting ready to go on the air, I hear the end of her show. And she had a caller at the end of her show today that said that she was looking for, you know, undecided voters, as if anybody could be undecided at this point. I'm sorry. That's asinine. So this guy calls in and he's obviously a Trumper. And he's bitching. He's like, well, you know, Joe Biden is not exactly a, you know, paragon of virtue. And she's like, well, what are you talking about? Well, he plagiarized. Yeah. In 1982 or something. Right. Yeah. He plagiarized a speech. Right. You're going to hold him a grudge against him for a plagiarizing charge from over 35 years ago. What about your guy who every day does something heinous?
And
that's
by the
okay.
Way, the plagiarism was that he said something that a British prime minister had said in his speech.
Yeah, it was a piece of his speech. Can we talk about Melania?
what was it? Melania gave Michelle Obama's speech
more than once. And best.
Yeah. So that's the terrible thing Joe Biden did.
Right, that's the terrible thing Joe Biden did.
I was not a Biden fan in the primaries. I heard an interview with Biden. He should be on your show. I don't know why he hasn't.
Well, because I'm a little internet show.
I had an interview with him where he was talking about the climate, and he was impressive.
He was very good in the debate about climate, too. I was surprised. Now, I hear him talking about fracking, and I'm not happy with him. Look, we're going to be fighting him from January 21st on, and I'm ready for it. But until January 21st or 20th, whenever it is, I'm going to have his back. Because when you're presented with, you know, Joe Biden, not my perfect candidate, but you know what? An overall decent guy. He is a decent guy. And Donald Trump, frankly, is not.
I've come to that conclusion even more than before. I wasn't so sure. And I'm watching him and hearing him and stuff.
He's a decent guy. And that's the best thing I can say about him. That's a good thing to say. If I say somebody's a decent guy, that's high praise. Because there are so many assholes in this world, and most of them are in this Trump administration. Yeah. There's not a decent one among them. Can you name anybody decent in this administration?
Of course not.
No.
Why would they be there? That's one of my biggest things about this judge, Amy Corbin Barrett, whatever.
Amy
Why
Phoney
would she
Barrett.
Accept a nomination
because,
under these circumstances?
Because she's of Gilead.
She was on that Hulu show, remember?
Yeah, Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah, she
from
was
Gilead.
From the left.
She was Aunt Lydia. Yeah. now posing as Amy Phoney Barrett. She scares the hell out of me. And it's just, it adds insult to injury that, you know, she's going to fill Ruth Bader Ginsburg's seat. And back in 2016, she even made a public statement and said, you know, it's one thing to fill the seat, but you can't fill Scalia's seat with somebody who is an ideological opposite.
Right.
Boy, it's funny how all those, all of that
they
goes out the window.
They just say stuff. I don't think you said they're hypocrites. They're not hypocrites. I think hypocrites believe something for thee, but not for me. But these guys, they don't, that's not even it. They just say stuff.
Yep.
It's just stuff.
Yep. Witchcat 3 in the YouTube chat room said Amy of Donald. That's her name. Amy. Yeah, Amy Coney of Donald.
Right.
That's it. God.
So who's going to win?
I am hoping Well, I believe Joe Biden will win. If all things being equal, if there was no shenanigans, no dirty tricks played by the Republican Party, I think it'd be a walk in the park for Joe Biden.
I think
Trump and his lawyers are going to pull out all the stops. They are going, as of now, going to polling places and intimidating voters. There was something in a story I read in out of Pennsylvania where there were people there, you know, looking over people's shoulders. You know, back in what year was it, 2012, I think, a lot of us were enlisted as poll watchers because Bush's people were not quite, was it 2012 or was it?
I don't remember.
I don't know. The years old.
Last month anymore.
Right. I know. But back in the day, I was a poll watcher for one election cycle, and you can't just show up and say, I'm here to watch the polls. You have to apply. There's one per party, per polling station allowed, and you sign up in advance. You don't just show up on election day and say, hi, I'm here to observe. It doesn't work that way. And in many counties, you're not allowed inside. You can stay outside. Right. You can't go inside where people are voting
unless
and watching.
Unless you have an AR-15.
Well, no. No, and then you can't. And that's the thing. And their double standard is everywhere. You know, apparently some poll worker bitched at some people who were wearing Black Lives Matter shirts and wouldn't let them in. It's like, you can't do that. That's the kind of shit.
I've been a poll worker many times.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
But you're not doing it this year. They're looking for
young
people.
It's not a double standard either. They just do it.
They just do it.
There's no standard. They don't have a standard. It's, you know, that's what I'm trying to say.
Yep.
After this gets over, we all have to learn to not even just ignore them. You know, they say you're against fracking and say, I don't know. They here's an example. They asked Kamala Harris, are you a socialist?
You know, that Nora O'Donnell, you know, Nora O'Donnell used to be just a regular reporter on NBC. And I always thought she was pretty good. But boy, you put someone on a nightly newscast and you get to see which way their loyalties lie. I think she's a Republican.
How many reporters have you heard asking Trump, are you a fascist?
None. Not a single one.
But every Democrat gets asked,
are you a socialist?
Yeah. Because the Republicans go out and they say these guys are socialists. So every Democrat has to be asked, are you a socialist? It's that the right, the Republicans are always credible. Always, whatever happens, you know, they're the authority party. And the Democrats are always too far to the left. I mean, Joe Biden is too far to the left. Joe Biden.
Right. Joe Biden is socialist. Now, first of all, I don't like his response when he was challenged by Trump or whoever, the moderator or whatever, about being socialist. His response should have been, I'm not, but, you know, you enjoy your Medicare, don't you? I mean, that's what he should have done instead of go, I beat Bernie Sanders. You know, stop it. I'm surprised he didn't, you know, challenge to take Trump out, you know, behind the cafeteria and beat his ass, because he did that during the primaries. I'm glad he didn't. That's what frightened me about the debates, because I thought he was going to go there. He's been okay. But you know, the talk of the liberal media just really pisses me off, because I want to know where the hell it is.
Right. You know, the New York Times, and they ask your typical Republicans out there, and then you find out they're asking Trump operatives.
Right.
That was last yesterday, wasn't it?
I don't even know. Yeah. It's typical. Right. But there is no liberal media. We're going to have. Go ahead.
Oh, no. I'm sorry.
No, you go.
If people can show up at the polls, if their votes get counted, California, we have Republicans are putting up phony ballot boxes, drop-off boxes.
Unbelievable. And they were told, here's this, they were told by the state attorney general, you need to take those down. And they said, fuck you. Yeah. We're going to leave them up. We're allowed to harvest ballots.
Yeah, that's not hypocrisy. That's not a double standard. That's fuck you.
Yeah, that's just crooked. That's just, they are... They're creeps. They're criminals. They're liars and cheats and thugs and hoodlums. I'll use all their words back on them.
The grift, the cons,
yes.
So if people can vote, I think, I don't know. I think we could win. I think we're going to win. I heard
we should win. And I think it's going to be a landslide. It certainly should be a landslide.
this morning, and after listening to the Nicole show,
yes,
I listened to this show with three Republican strategists and James Carville. All right.
Oh, sorry. Boy.
But, you know, no. Stephen Strauss, I think his name is, and Schmidt, you know him.
Steve Schmidt. Oh, yeah, the man responsible for Sarah Palin.
I know, but God, he goes after Trump pretty
yes,
well.
Yes, he does. He? But still, and I can't forget he's the man responsible for Sarah Palin.
Okay, I know. All four of them were going on about how this is going to be the landslide election that destroys the Republican Party once
right.
and for all, and that they won't recover for a generation.
Whoops, hold on 1 second. Hold on. I'm sorry. I'm trying to bring up this. Oh, my God. I'm having just technical problems today. Give me 1 second. I needed to turn you down so I could kill this video, and now I can't find the video. I'm sorry. Say what?
My hair, I turned the light off. My hair keeps getting whiter, and now it's so white you can't see me from the wall.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry. I interrupted you. Continue.
I no, they were saying this could be the end of the Republican Party for a generation, but
it should be.
The only way that works is if enough people show up and vote and Republicans, who are these people that you just went through that whole list of the stuff
I know,
he says,
right?
And they're all like, yay. I saw another Trump rally. On, I'm obsessively scanning Twitter these days. And there was a Trump rally where they're waiting for Trump, and there's like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people not crammed together, and not one of them has a mask on.
Uh-oh. Yeah, right. And then Trump says, we wear masks. I'm good with masks.
No,
I have rallies. They wear masks. No, they don't.
He's mocking Biden again for wearing masks. I mean, they don't believe that there's a disease out there.
You know?
Trump tweeted this morning that the news media is only talking about COVID because they want him out and it'll be gone after the election.
Right. Oh, they won't even mention it after November 4th.
225,000 Americans that have died are going to rise up, I suppose.
Rise up. Okay.
I suppose that's what'll happen, right?
Here's a painting for you. We need to bring down the blood pressure. So that's one of my nice. Lovely paintings.
I'll donate.
Here's another one. I will post
is that
them.
What it's like where you live?
Is that what it's like? No. Oh, my pictures are much prettier where I live. I live in Florida.
I know, it's beautiful.
Right, but these are not pictures of where I live.
Florida mountains.
Yeah, right. Exactly. These are just paintings that I made, mostly copying other pictures because I'm not that good an artist. I'm not that creative.
That area between where you are and the island, that used to be Miami.
Yes. Miami Beach is an island.
Climate change.
Yeah. And every time it rains, we, you know, the streets of Miami Beach flood and all that.
Yeah.
It's happening. We are in climate change. So anyway, those are my lovely paintings for anybody interested in donating to the program. I will give those away as premiums.
I've got two things I want to push today.
Okay. What do you want to push?
First one is.
Yes.
If we win the election.
Yes.
I want to see a fund. Remember when there was a fund way back? Where they raised $2 million that would go to anybody who would run against Susan Collins.
Yes. And that money went to, what's her name? Yep. I want to say Gideon is her name.
I want to see a fund after the election because we got all this energy and we're raising all this money. And I want to see people put money into that fund for primarying any Democrat who supports keeping the filibuster and a whole list of things like that. Any Democrat who opposes expanding the court.
Yeah.
I want to see a huge primary fund raised up so that we have so they know in
advance.
That's
a good idea.
They've got to know in advance. And that we're all going to go after all these clowns. If they say, I don't support getting rid of the filibuster, there won't be a single progressive thing or even a Democrat thing passed, just like under Obama, if they don't.
Right, right. Well, and it depends what happens with the Senate. Any predictions on what's going to happen in the Senate, Dave Johnson?
You know, it's looking better. It's looking better. No, I don't know. I don't know what's going to, I don't know if we're going to be alive the day after the election. Are you kidding?
Right.
I don't know anything anymore.
Hey, the day after the election is my birthday.
Oh, happy birthday.
November 4th. Lucky me. Either I'll be 62 or we'll all be dead. You know,
exactly.
One or the other.
Exactly. So, you know, I'm not going to make a prediction. I am hopeful.
The Democrats should pick up at least half a dozen seats. Should being the operative word here. And if they don't, it all comes down to their ineptitude.
Yeah, that's right. What's her name? McGrath is running.
Amy McGrath.
That's why you should vote for her. And those ads show up in the Illinois media.
Do they?
Regions too.
Wow.
They broadcast.
Oh, because Kentucky is next to Illinois, is next to Ohio.
That's a Democrat. That's the Democrat that the Democrats supported over a solid, good, progressive guy.
I know, Booker. And he would have walked away with it. If anybody deserves to be voted out of the Senate, it's Mitch McConnell. He is the most heinous man. Yes. You know, the hatred that I have for him might even be more than the hatred I have for Trump. Right. Trump, I feel a little sorry for, because honestly, I think he's not right in the head. No, you don't feel sorry for him. I don't have sympathy for him. I do feel sorry for him because he's such a fucking moron.
I feel sorry for
Mitch McConnell. Mitch McConnell deserves to be run out of town on that rail, the literal rail, not a proverbial rail, but a literal rail.
Yes. And then the second thing I want to promote before our time's up.
Yeah.
I want to see a Department of Democracy, a federal Department of Democracy. You know how there's these, 4, 5, 6 hour lines to vote?
Yes.
It's hard to vote.
I know. Shouldn't be that way.
They make it hard to register. I want to, and that's this country. This country should have a Department of Democracy, federal. And what it does is it makes sure that everybody can get their birth certificates or whatever they need to get registered to vote. And it goes door to door. If you can't get your birth certificate, somebody from the Department of Democracy comes to your house, sits down and helps you get the ID you need and all of that, gets you registered. And it goes door to door and helps you do your ballots.
Yeah.
Okay, supervised, so they're not influencing you or anything, whatever.
Right.
You know, they make it a priority. I have a whole list of things this department should do. It should protect democracy. It should supervise elections nationwide. It should fold in the federal elections communication and trace where the money comes from. There's a whole list of things they could do.
Well, you know, Joe Biden has in recent days said what history is calling for right now is a president along the, you know, of the same magnitudinal effort as FDR.
Yeah, and we will need it.
We will need it.
This economy that's coming.
Oh, it's going to be horrible. And I just went through a whole thing at the beginning of the show. How this is a cycle. The Democrats build it up. The Republicans tear it down. Democrats come back in again and build it up. The Republicans trash it again. It happens.
Democrats come in and they say you can't spend money. You'll have a big deficit.
Right.
And then they
come in and they blow. We've talked, modern monetary theory and deficits are okay. But the Republicans allegedly don't want deficits. And they took the deficit from whatever it was under a trillion to over three.
They get in and they use money to deliver for their constituents.
Yep.
And then Democrats get in and Republicans trick everybody into thinking, oh, we can't do that. And then Democrats are prevented from delivering for their constituents. And people, their lives didn't feel all that better, a lot of people, after 8 years of Obama because of that.
That's right. Well, because of the Republican-controlled Senate. So the Democrats really couldn't do anything. Obama got Obamacare in his first term. And after that, he lost control of Congress. So
they blocked every single thing.
Every single thing. And, you know, let's talk about blocking. My problem with Amy Coney Barrett being confirmed today is the Democrats could have stopped it, damn it. You know what? Yeah. They could have not gone along with the continuing resolution. Nancy Pelosi could have said, hell no. You want to play? Let's talk. Move this confirmation back. You want the government not to shut down? They have no problem shutting it down. I think a lot fewer people would be hurt by a short government shutdown at the end of this year than Amy Phony fucking Barrett on the Supreme Court for the next 50.
We have a generational problem, you know.
Oh, tell me about
it. There's some older Democrats that won't let go.
I know.
Dianne Feinstein. We all tried to get her to not run.
She
did it anyway. She only got in from name recognition. Everybody who pays attention to politics was like, no more.
She's 87 years old. I'm sorry. I don't believe in forced retirement, but she's already shown she's not all there. And she shouldn't still be in the Senate. And she certainly shouldn't be the ranking chair of ranking member of the Senate Judiciary Committee.
And Pelosi said she's going to run for speaker again.
Yes, she did. She did today. Didn't she say she wasn't going to do that?
Things and everything, but she's now, they need to pass the torch. They
Tell
don't
me
even
about
have
it.
A rising up, what do you call it, a field team.
Oh, sure they do. They do, actually. They're not, you know, positioning themselves
That's
as
what
such.
I mean, they're not positioning
but
them.
Pramila Jayapal.
Oh, yeah.
AOC.
Oh, yeah.
Katie Porter.
Oh, my God. She should run for Senate.
Oh, my God. Yes, she should. She should run for Kamala Harris's seat. But if she doesn't, Katie Porter for Speaker of the House.
Oh, yeah.
We could do a lot worse. So there are some really, really good progressives. And there are going to be more voted in because there's a real good batch of progressives who won their primaries who we're going to have in Congress. So the progressive base of the Democratic Progressive Caucus hopefully will be growing with true progressives, which is what we need.
Yes.
So we should put together a list of our demands for a new Democratic majority in 2021. Literally. What do you think? What do you think, Dave Johnson? Your assignment, should you care to accept it, is to come up with a list of demands, and we'll reconvene after the election and try to get them through.
Well, that's what we're going to do. We're going to make them do it this time.
Yep. All right. Let's make them do it. All right, Dave Johnson. Find Dave Johnson at DC Johnson on the Twitters. Seeingtheforest.com is his blog, but he never writes there. You can go and look around, but, you know, he hasn't done anything since July. So thank you, Dave.
But it's good when I do.
It is good when you do. I'll see you later. Laffy's here tomorrow. Thanks for listening, everyone. Bye.